Original title of this thing was foliar diseases and bole rots. Well, I don't know whether I can finish in 16 minutes just with foliar diseases, so I'll just stick to them and maybe next year talk about bole rot. I might mention here that last year we had the fourth largest disease loss in the disease loss estimate to foliar diseases since the records were being kept. So we had a very high amount of foliar diseases last year compared to a normal year. Of course, I'll start out with bacterial blight. This was a big major disease until we started acid delining cotton. And it's come back on us in certain places. They changed the name to Xanthomonas axapotus. Of course, it causes a seedling blight as well as foliar diseases and seed-borne. What we ran into recently is that for concerns, they have quit acid delining cotton in some cases and used other methods of delining it and haven't got all the blight off, or they've sent the seed down to South America to get increased and brought it back with some blight on it. This thing is a big problem. Of course, the control on it was the acid delining, as I mentioned, residue destruction. We used to have a lot of resistant varieties and a lot of attention given to developing resistant varieties, but in recent years, that's kind of fallen by the wayside. And we have a poster showing you that quite a few varieties now are somewhat susceptible to bacterial blight, mainly because we didn't have much of it, and so the breeders haven't spent time trying to breed resistance in for it. I got a few pictures of what it looks like. You go out into a field and you see all this defoliation falling out. Bottom, that's a good symptom of it. You have massive defoliation. You look at it a little bit closer and you can look at the leaves and you can see the lesions on the leaves. It's called angular leaf spot because of the classical symptoms on the leaves. There's some more pictures of it. Of course, this gets on boles and stems and everything else, and it can completely defoliate, kill plants, and our real susceptible varieties, when we inoculate, it just completely defoliates the plant. This is a bad disease, but luckily we haven't had much trouble with it lately. The next set of diseases I'm going to talk about, they have several things in common. One thing is they're all weak pathogens. Another thing is that they're much more severe under rainy conditions at the end of the year. They're also much more severe if you have any kind of a stress on the plant, such as potash deficiency or whatever. And they're also hard to identify, and they're also, you don't usually run into one of them at a time. You can run into one or two, or one year you'll have one, the next year you'll have another one. The Cercospora leaf spot, small red lesions that enlarge, have a light brown center, overwinters on leaves. Like I said, it's a very weak pathogen, but it can really defoliate a whole field real fast, especially if the cotton's under stress. Correct mineral deficiencies, avoid stress, which you can't always do. Like last year when we got all those rains. Here's a picture of it. This is real typical of what Cercospora looks like, is these little bitty white lesions with the dark borders around them. Of course, they can get bigger, coalesce, and then it's a little harder to identify them. Ascochyta blight, also called wet weather blight. This is one that comes in when you get protracted rainy periods at the end of the season. You get these lesions that coalesce. This fungus has a very wide host range, and it attacks a lot of other plants. It can come in from the weeds, splash, and windborne. But if you get a lot prolonged cloudy and rainy cool weather period, you can have an epidemic of this thing. Same control, bury debris and avoid the stress on cotton. See, this thing here is pretty, can do a job on your leaves real quick. There's another picture of it. And there's another one. The middles can fall out sometimes. A lot of these things look real similar. This thing also gets on the stem. There's another picture of it. Another biggie is this Stemphylium leaf blight. Small circular brown lesions, usually with concentric rings on them. Older lesions will have a white center, and the lesions, the centers will drop out and coalesce. And this thing, the spores are wind and splash borne, very, very weak parasite. Again, more very severe when the plant is under stress caused by nutrient deficiencies, insect pressure, heavy bole load. Same controls, avoid stress, control insects, destroy plant residue, and both of these, in some cases, can be controlled with foliar fungicides. The problem is you don't know when you're going to have them, so you have to have the fungicide out before you get them, so it's hard to predict, and it's not really economical to spray every year hoping you'll get these diseases, or you hope you don't get them, but they are effective if you get these things on before the disease shows up. There's a Stemphylium there. Very similar to these other ones. Stick these in a moist chamber and then look at them. It's the best way to identify them. And then you'll see this, these areas here that are just defoliated. There's another picture of it. And another one. Another one there. Stemphylium. Okay. Did I go backwards or something? Okay, I'm going backwards, huh? All right, let me try going down then. All right, let's try this. All right. There's a picture that I got, and it looks somewhat, a little bit different. That's supposed to be Stemphylium. Another one. Alternaria leaf blight. There's two different alternarias that cause a leaf blight, the Microspora and the Alternata. Again, you've got these small brown and purple margins. Older leaves can have concentric rings. Wind and splashborn, just like all these other ones, can defoliate. I remember going into a field when I was a graduate student in Louisiana. You had cotton that was perfect, didn't have a spot on it, and then bang, all of a sudden, all the cotton was defoliated. And this was a case where the farmer had used a nematicide and controlled his nematicide. And when he ran out, the plants were under stress from the nematodes, and they were completely defoliated by Alternaria. And where it didn't run out, you know, they were fine. This is another one that fungicides can help you control. There's Alternaria. Again, they're pretty darn similar looking. Oops. There's some more of them. There's the concentric ring type of thing. That's not the only one that does that. There's Microspora right here. This one's kind of interesting. It's also a pathogen on Spurtinota, and we do a lot of work at Stoneville at controlling this weed by spraying it with this pathogen. And I often wondered what had happened if we sprayed all these weeds and then it moved over to the cotton, but it didn't usually, so. A little bit about rust that I have, southwestern cotton rust. Green lesions, bright yellow, orange pustules. Alternate host for this thing is several species of gramma grasses. And this disease needs a specific set of weather conditions to develop. Needs to build up in gramma grass, which kind of likes dry weather, and then it needs wet weather for the rust to develop. Talking to a guy from Texas, he told me that fungicides were very effective in controlling this thing when it shows up. Of course, there's a lot of host resistance. This one's real easy to identify. It occurs only in Texas, the southwestern part of the cotton belt. Some pictures of that. Other diseases, I just threw a few things in here, foliar symptoms. Areolate mildew, which I don't believe we have in the U.S. There's a virus disease, and there's several virus diseases in other countries that we've been lucky enough not to run into yet. Tom Allen found this Helminthosporium leaf spot in some fields in Mississippi last year that we hadn't run into too often. There's the symptoms of what it looks like. There's another picture of it. Other diseases which affect cotton foliage. This is one that's been around for a long time. Well, yeah, year before last we ran into a field that turned out to be lightning damage, but it didn't look anything like this. It was kind of a glancing blow, and it just would kill a few plants here and a few plants there, and we couldn't find anything anywhere until we started cutting it open. And this one here can be quite the, usually it's nice in a nice round circle and you don't have any trouble identifying it, but it can hit at a glancing blow and give you fits. Of course, fusarium wilt, the vascular wilt, can cause just death early and all this other stuff. There's some fusarium wilt there. Vert wilt beginning, and classical vert wilt here. We don't see as much of that as we used to when we were growing long season cottons, at least in Mississippi. Other foliar diseases that are reported. This used to show up in South Louisiana when they grew cotton way down south. Phomopsis shows up every once in a while. Myrothecium, powdery mildew, and anthracnose, I should mention, was a real big problem that we don't see too much of anymore, and I'm sure I've missed several other things. Now, that's it. Anybody have any questions or comments? Or got some time. Yes, sir. Bury it, yeah. Burn it, bury it, I don't care, no. Destroy plant residue. How do you do that? Of course, they're always more of a problem in no-cropping situations, and yeah, it's hard to destroy. Yes, sir.
If you have any, you mentioned this for Stemphylium leaf spot, or fair leaf spot, that in fungicide application ahead of disease,
yeah,
can't be. Have you done work with that, or is that?
That's what I've heard from other people that it can help. Yes. Uh-huh.
You know anything about foliar feeding? Say potassium. You've got.
Yes, there's been a lot of work done, and we've done with the foliar feeding. No, but the. Correcting the potassium deficiency will control a lot of these diseases in the soil. Now, foliar feeding has had, have you had some trouble at work with foliar feeding? You had any luck?
We have one spot in the black belt, out of the soil, and it occurs there every year. We have these spot problems. And it seems like the problem is that it cannot take up the potassium because there's plenty of potassium.
Yeah.
And in that situation, if you don't do foliar feeding or fungicides, you're going to have to put it on a lot of leaves still.
Right.
Still
fairly young.
Able to take that up.
We when we went to these short season cotton varieties, have had the same situation in places where they had what we thought was adequate potassium, but just not enough time to take it up. And they were predisposed to a number of diseases. But from what I've heard, foliar feeding has given mixed results. Just can't get enough on there to do the, yes, sir.
United Incorporated was involved in the project and sent it over 6 years. And we found that the best way to provide, assuming you're not in an optimal situation where potassium is limiting on rain conditions, but the best way we found to alleviate the problem with potassium was to soil test and fertilize as required. That works. Now there's more tricks to it than that, but that's the basics of it. You want to avoid potassium deficiency, test your soil, find out what you need to provide. Yeah. Basically works.
And I think there's some varieties that, you know, you might have some problems
there's
with.
There's some chicks there.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Any other questions?
Still about yeah. 5 minutes.
No, 54 seconds is what I got up
now.
Don't give me any more.
I don't want four.
You get
4 minutes.
I don't need it. Okay.
Yes,
you all right?
I'm on $5 for this question.
Oh.
the bacterial leaf spot, mm-hmm. how prevalent? I noticed that you found that last year or year.
Well, we found it, about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, when the Roundup Ready, it was pretty a big problem in certain fields. Of course, that was the seed borne, brought up from South America.
And is that the case of not acid delinting anymore?
Well, you know, the way they used to acid delint and the way they do it now is a lot different. It's not completely getting it all off of. And that, in that case, that's what it was. And we have seen, but the thing that just bothers me a little bit is that a lot of the varieties aren't resistant to it anymore. And if we had to quit acid delinting, we could get into to a problem. And we're not acid delinting, and then they're using other methods to delint now, so it could become a... But it's around still, you know, not a big problem. Of course,